Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for the introduction, Phil. So as Phil says, I'm from Sunderland, so I had a very early rise this morning. So if I fall asleep, you'll know why, you can shout at me. And I want to talk you through that digital journey, the journey that we've gone on around care homes. And I'm really excited to hear about the next couple of projects as well, because to me, it's really important that as an NHS and as organisations working together, that we share that best practice, that we learn from each other. And it doesn't matter what the technology is, it's about the outcomes that we can achieve by using different types of technology. So like many projects, it starts with what is the challenge? And often that becomes a personal thing. So we heard earlier from Jerry, and you know, it's great to hear some personal stories. And mine would start off with that personal story as well, and it'll take you through on that journey. So this is my gran and my grandpa. Sadly, my grandpa died 7 years ago. My grandparents played a massive part in my life. I lost my mum when I was 10, my sister was 13, and my dad wasn't really around. So actually, they stepped in to be our guardians. So they've brought up two families. And then as she got older, you know, she's fulfilled a fantastic life. You can see her here. She's glamorous. They all, you know, they had the first car on the street, the first telephones that people would knock on and want to use their phone to ring somebody else. So, but actually, my gran was a really glamorous woman. You know, she took pride in her appearance, whether it was Planet or Winsmore clothes. She was a really proud woman. Then when dementia set in, it just changed her as a personality. And everybody out there will have a story, whether it's personal to you, a family friend. We all know and somebody that has had Alzheimer's or dementia, and the changes that can impact and how it impacts their whole life. So for my gran, once my granddad died, she couldn't live independently anymore. So she had to move into a care home. She had blood pressure problems. She had health deterioration. She dropped down to under 6 stone. So there was a lot of different health issues. And that drove me to think about why are we doing these things the way that we are doing them currently, and how do we do things differently within that environment? So that actually she gets better care in a care home without nursing. So that started off our journey. So I am going to just step you through. Not only that was the reason, but if you haven't read the Quest for Quality document in 2011, this does highlight some of the key issues that we see within care homes. Those who work in care homes or work into care homes will understand what these issues are. You're dealing with much more complex patients, the patients who were in hospital or in nursing homes, those who were in nursing homes who were in care homes. We know that there's a lot of challenges now around dealing with those. What we also know is that we're not very good at detecting deterioration and dealing with that. So we wanted to introduce digital technology that would help us to do that. We work in a care model in Sunderland. I'm not going to go through this, but I just want to pick out the key things. I'll move Alexa over to the left-hand side. So we've got three circles here. The first one focuses on the personalised, proactive, joined-up care. So this is about bringing all of our services together. And that's enabled by digital technology as well. We then really want to improve people's outcomes, and in particular their health outcomes, and increase their quality of life. So this is how we work as a model within Sunderland with a number of an alliance with a number of partner organisations working together. So what we did as a result of kind of working together is we pulled together a group of care homes with a clinical representative from CCG, with our local authority, with people who had an interest in care homes to start co-producing and looking at what would that digital solution look like. So we had 7 care homes who put their hand up straight away and said, actually, we'd really like to work with you and help to design what that might look like. We talked to lots of people. Our clinician, and those who are clinical in the room, will understand about news on News 2. Our clinician really wanted to use that as a tool to be able to facilitate proactive monitoring. A lot of the digital technology out there didn't do that. They didn't have it on their roadmap. It was really challenging for us. We probably had to postpone for a year until we could talk to some different providers. But then we were able to engage with a small company and begin to have that conversation about how we design it ourselves. So this just tells you some of the things that we've done. So we've co-produced it. We've designed training programmes. We've supported them standard operating procedures. We've helped to empower and train those staff in care homes to really upskill them, to support them, to look after their residents better. So news two, for those who don't understand what it is, it's National Early Warning Score. So it's predominantly used, probably 85% of the hospitals across the UK. We've taken it from a hospital setting out into the community environment with some support from the Royal College of Physicians and our local experts as well. So in terms of what that's meant for the care homes, so we've had an awful lot of learning. We've shared some best practice. We've worked regionally, so we haven't just introduced news. We've introduced MUST with some support from some colleagues in County Durham and Darlington. And on here, this is what we found it's really meant. So it's helping them to recognise that deterioration. What's normal for my resident and what do I do if that's changing? It's really enabling that communication, much better handover. So rather than it being Mrs. Smith's just off our legs today, it's Mrs. Smith's not being herself. Her blood pressure's dropped to this. Her temperature's increased. Her new score is this. So it's enabling those different types of conversations with the correct clinical people. So I just want to show you what it looks like, because we often get asked about that. It doesn't get called digital technology or news, it gets called the blue box. So just to skip you through, on the left-hand side, this is Ethel. What I really loved about Ethel, she's got capacity. We were out doing some training and monitoring of their residents as part of the pilot, and a phone rang. So Catherine's saying, oh, it's not my phone. I'm going, it's not my phone. 92-year-old, and she pulls her mobile phone out of her pocket. It was her niece ringing to see how she was, so she was telling them, oh, they're taking my blood pressure. So it's amazing that actually technology is part of people's lives, regardless of age. So that's the blue box. These are just some of the screenshots of how that might look. You can load pictures on there, take oxygen saturations. It also colour codes, so if it's safe, it's green. Amber, it's orange. High alert, red. So we've just got some little things built into there. So it's, rather than just hearing it from me, I'm going to show you a very short video. And my lovely colleague over here is going to just play that for me.
As a manager, the tablet's been a huge success. It's increased all our confidence, and we now have the ability to talk to other medical professionals with more confidence about its use. It's allowing us to identify and give fact to people when we ring up, rather than just a feeling, I don't feel like someone's well. It's allowed us to actually say, I have a baseline reading, this person's now saying they're not feeling very well and I've got a change in their observations, which is something we've never had the ability to do before. So when I think you might be unwell and I bring that box with all the equipment in, mm-hmm. Can you remember what I do?
You take my blood pressure.
Yes.
And my temperature.
That's right.
And everything.
And then we've got that little probe we'll put on your finger.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's for your oxygen levels.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so that would allow me to check to make sure that you were well, or if it showed that you were changing and your blood pressure was different or your oxygen levels were different, I would be able to then get help.
Yes.
And I'd be able to ring with some information to hopefully get the right people to come and help you and get the right treatment.
Yes.
I've been involved in working in elderly care for the past 20 years and most recently involved in the care home project, and the digital tablets came on the back of that project. We were asked to go into the care homes and do assessments, geriatric assessments on all of the patients. Whilst we were in the care homes, we felt that the carers and the nursing staff lacked the skills and knowledge to be able to do clinical observations and also to be able to prioritise from them clinical observations. So I was involved in the tablet to initiate the clinical training with the carers around basic observation and also the new score. This enabled the staff to gain confidence and competence to deal with problems within the care home setting, and also to triage patients and signpost them to the most appropriate clinician to deal with that problem.
We first had some training on this equipment, and I think we were all quite nervous that it would be difficult to use, but we found it really easy, and to be honest, it's been really helpful for us to speak to other professional people, because us as a residential care home, we don't have like observations and temperatures behind us. So I feel like being able to take somebody's oxygen levels sort of gives us information and empowers us to be able to speak to other professionals and have something concrete that they can work with, rather than saying, I don't think so-and-so looks very well today. also the fact that we can work out the MUSE score, which is used in the hospitals and by other nurses and other professionals, that gives us something concrete as well, an actual figure that they can recognise if it's high or if it's low. And how easy it is to use, all of our senior team are finding it really good and easy and building up the confidence with it. So it's been positive, a definite positive for us.
Thank you. Oh, it's not moving. There we are. So we always get asked about, have we evaluated it? What are the outcomes? Has it saved us money? So we were supported by our local HSN, North Eastern Cumbria, to be able to carry out an academic evaluation. A lot of it went over my head with all these long equations. I said, actually, what is it practically that we've done in order to make a difference? So they went in, they looked at 2 years' worth of data. We've had residents who've survived for that long. They looked at 12 months before, and once the intervention went in, 12 months afterwards. In those care homes, about 300 residents, this is what they found as some of the outcomes. We'd had 192 less emergency admissions, 336 less A&E attendances from those residents. Surprisingly, 49.2% reduction in bed days. So you kind of assume that that's because we're treating people earlier, catching it earlier, getting them back home quicker. So that was a real positive for us. Taken 18,000 new scores during that period of time. The staff on the whole found it really positive. 88% said they see the value of doing it. 83% saw it as part of their normal work. And cost models are really challenging. So the first stats they come up with is you've saved over £700,000 for those 8 care homes. But then we've been conservative about our approach to that and downgraded that, but it's still exceeded what we've invested within that project, which is fantastic news. One of the key things for us, though, is, you know, 83%, how do we do things better? What did we learn? How did some staff feel that it wasn't brilliant? So it does take time to embed projects like this. You're not going to get your wins overnight. You've got to take those staff on that journey with you. Not all of the staff were on board. It was really quite challenging in some environments. Wi-Fi, if I can make a plea out there, if you have a care home, please, please get the right Wi-Fi that covers your whole environment. You know, as Jerry said, we need technology to be embedded. So as I go in as a family member, I want to be able to use that Wi-Fi so I can interact with my gran. Staff turnover is a real challenge. So you've trained somebody up and then they've left. So then they don't use the blue box anymore. So there were some things. Data was challenging, and IG don't even go there. So that took us months of working through with some IG experts. But taking that on board, and what we learned was that actually we needed to do something a little bit different. So we did. We employed a nurse for 12 to 18 months. You can see Adam there. He's well-groomed. When's the photograph? I need to get my hair done before I come. He worked in care homes for 17 years, worked up through the ranks. Then he went back and retrained, so he just understood that market. So actually, it's not just about the skills, but it's his personality as well. So we've employed him in conjunction with some support from his colleagues to really support that digital technology. Now, he'll say, I'm not digital, I use a mobile phone. See, his spreadsheets, they're terrible. He hasn't got a clue when it comes to those things. What he understands is people and actually the outcomes you can get from using that technology. So what he's been doing is working in, we've based in 5 localities, so he's been working in 3 of those localities over the last 7 months. He's building them up as we go. And what he's been able to do as a result of that is really get people working in a different way. Training was always a problem. We used to bring them into a classroom. Does that work? Is that really difficult to do? This is the Melissa bus, which is a Health Education England bus, so we could secure it for free. We took the training to the care homes. They came out and they jumped on the education suite. We did it in partnership with Sunderland University. We covered SBAR. We covered some kind of prevention things, so deterioration, and we trained them on news. So that worked really well. So if you can think innovatively of how you reach out that type of training, that would be some of the tips that I would give you. Oh, so... sorry, it is very sensitive. So what has Adam been doing? How has he been getting on? Since March, when he started in post, new scores have increased month on month. we probably had about 20 care homes who were mostly on, but now we've got 35 care homes who are permanently on, using the digital technology every day or every week. We've got four who are jumping up and down a little bit, and he hasn't moved into the final two areas where we hope to get on board those last 10. So he's making real progress in terms of what he's doing. But you can see there the number of people that he's been able to go out and do briefings or training sessions with in a very personalised way. So if he's delivering news training, how do you do blood pressure, how do you measure respiration rate, it's in the care home or on the bus, then he's following that up as a personal one-to-one session in that care home environment. And that's what we learned. It didn't work the way we did it before. This has worked and it's been a great success. We've also supported LD, so we've actually rolled this technology into 27 small group homes. So we've been supporting them with a bit of training as well. We've talked and trained and briefed our community service nursing teams because they're all a stakeholder in the involvement of that patient care. So that's the type of things that we're doing. And I'm really proud that Adam is in post and we're hoping to secure funding that we can continue his post longer term because we can see the value of what he's doing. So in terms of the future, we've still got ambitions to do new things. As I said, it's agnostic in terms of the digital technology. You're going to hear about another couple of ones. If you get the chance to chat to Health Call when you're out there, they're doing some fantastic, exciting things as well. But look at what your outcomes are. But also, where else do you extend the digital? You know, is it Arnie the dog? Is it VR? Some of the practical things that we're doing is around NHS mail. You know, faxes are going to be no longer in the future. So we've got to work with our care homes to get them to be on board with NHS mail so they can safely share information. One of the things I missed off that list is proxy access to be able to order repeat prescriptions instead of having to wait 10 minutes on the phone. I can only ring between 3 and 4. I've got 17 different GP practices that I've got to try and get a prescription from. How do we make that a much more efficient process? That's the kinds of things that we're looking at. We're also looking at React to Red around pressure sores and how do we digitalise that aspect. And we've got the director of nursing involved in that programme. And we're also working with, we've got a couple of new builds and they're coming to us for advice. So we want to be digital in the future. What is our infrastructure and what do we do? So there are lots of possibilities. So thank you very much for listening to my presentation and enjoy your break.